Log Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. And we are back this morning for another segment of the Coach Lalisa Show. Another opportunity to lift up our voices in this major, major ultra concern about domestic violence. Well, we have some guests. They will be coming to the show. So do not go away. Do not change that dial. And if you want to dial into the show, if you have a comment or a question for myself or the guest, they will be coming in shortly. Please dial in. Feel free to dial in. And you're going to dial in on 347-945-7991. That's 347-945-7991, right here on the Coach Lalisa Show. Well, the other thing, too, I want to make sure everybody knows that you want to come out and support our upcoming events that we have. We have some upcoming fundraisers. We would like for you to support those. We have something going down at our local Applebee's here in Union, New Jersey. So we definitely invite you out to that. Also, we are launching new training programs to help inspire you, motivate you, to encourage you to be the best you can be. You know, you want to be your best. Also, I mean, why not? It's your life. Okay, this is your, this is your life, okay? As my good friend Rick Carson said, it's not your mother's life, it's not your father's life, it is your life, and it's a gift from God. And what are you doing with your gift? And what are you doing with your gift? Well, I see we have our first caller on the line. Good morning, good morning. Caller, you're on the line, 216 area code.
Hello, good morning. This is Latasha.
Latasha, wow. You know what? You had us rocking yesterday. I mean, so much so that we wanted to do this all over again. And we said we want you to come back. I know you have a poem that you're going to share with us. Denise told me about this particular poem that you're going to share. And so we definitely want to hear that. But for those of you who did not listen to the archives yesterday, we're talking with Ms. Latasha Scott. She has a book of poetry that is coming out. She also is just an awesome, awesome woman that is going around motivating our youth, our middle age, our seniors, all levels of people to empower them. And, you know, that's what time it is today. It's okay. You know, we finally got here. You know, Latasha, you probably weren't born when we were hoping that one day we'd see this day, but you're a part of it. We were looking for the day when we could empower people to change the conditions of their life. And so you're a part of that. We celebrate. That's what we do here on the Coach Lalisa Show. And, you know, we like for people like yourself to come on the show and share your empowering messages, your empowering principles. Some people have concepts that can empower others. There are principles that we can put into place that really do empower people to make a change in their life so that they can have a better life and they can have a satisfied and fulfilling life. You know, a lot of people are hurting these days, not just from domestic violence, but from financial lack and all other kinds of problems. So I'm so glad you could come and be back with us today.
Yes, I'm thankful and grateful that you guys allowed me to come back on the show again.
You know, that is so great. And I tell you, we loved you. I got nothing but positive feedback from the people who tuned in. You know, you talked about some of the projects that you're working on. You're going to be at the Beyond Abuse Symposium that's happening on Saturday. And that's an awesome, awesome program. So Why don't you, do you happen to, if you don't have the address, I'll get it. But if you do you have it?
No, I don't have the address.
I can get it. I can get it in 2 seconds. So I'll come back with that a little later. But I want you to, you'll be there. I know it's at a church up there in Cleveland. We're excited about that. Now, is this your, now you will be speaking at this symposium, and is this your first symposium of this type?
Yes. Yes, it is. I mean, I've done a couple of poetry at my grandmother. She also has a battered women's shelter that she's trying to get together, and she does things similar to Miss Denise, what Miss Denise does as well. So I work with my grandmother as well. When she have events or fundraisers, she used me and my poetry to come out and speak to people. I also have done poetry at the church before, but I haven't done anything in this magnitude yet. So I really feel like it's a blessing, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to share the light that God put inside of me.
Well, I want you to know, to, Natasha, that you are sharing your light right now around the world, because right here on Blog Talk Radio is an international internet, so IIR, it's international internet radio, and there are people listening all over the world, Kenya, Japan, India, Canada, South America, you know. So we have people who listen, who tune into the show from California, Tennessee, North Carolina, Chicago, New York, and a host of people right here in New Jersey. We have the people who tune in from Atlanta, in Florida. So all over, you are international. Not that you weren't before, but certainly you're international now. And you have your friends, you have your colleagues or what have you. These are individuals that you can, you know, you can send them the link. You can, if you, if there was someone that you wanted to hear your poetry, you can send them a link. You don't have to record anything. You can cut and paste the link. So I'm going to let you do that so that you can, you know, have something to present to them. So if you want to, you know, send something now, you can do that, and we'll come back and talk about it.
Okay. Hello?
Oh, yes. No, no. Okay, right. So what, all you got to do is tell us, you know, the name of your, the poem. And
oh, okay.
Let it...
All right. Yes, the name of this poem is called Past, Present, and Beyond. This is the poem that I especially wrote for the book when Ms. Denise told me about the project that she was doing. She asked me to contribute a poem, and I did. It's called Past, Present, and Beyond. What used to be a silent cry has now turned into a whisper. The mirror image no longer scares me, for I see a clearer picture. I thought I lost my grip on life until Christ grabbed my hand and saved me. No longer do I fear my own shadow. Now I see my future shining bright. Life lessons learned with a tough blow, but no longer do I feel defeated. Challenges I have conquered, the champion me I have discovered. To feel safe once again, I have found shelter. To rest my head with no worries, I have found comfort. With blessings as my pillow, mercy and grace as my cover. No more running from demons, I have found freedom. Life at one point in time seemed so hard to live. I now live it abundantly. Fighting back with my voice, I now speak boldly. Finding my second wind, I can breathe again. Understanding I am no longer the victim but victorious. I am able to stand here and share my story. For life is a testimony, and I have just shared mine out loud, so you may never again have to live in silence. I'm living beyond abuse.
Wow. Now, that is awesome. Beautiful. And so
you
just wrote that, I mean, what, a few months ago?
Yeah, it was a couple of months ago. Ms. Denise emailed me and asked me, you know, could I contribute a poem? She told me, you know, her vision. She told me what she was trying to do in the community, and she just sent me a small segment of her vision. So I incorporated that into the poem, and this is what was birthed.
Wow. Talk about very talented. And so you birthed that beautiful poem, Past, Present, and Beyond. How fitting for a book entitled Beyond Abuse, and then for a symposium and conference, Meet the Beyond Abuse Project. Wow, that is so powerful, because there are so many people who need to go beyond their abuse. And so to be in that book that's going to reach thousands and thousands of people, you know, millions of women reading that book. And I know men are abused as well. We know that.
Right.
But, yes, we're well aware of the men that are abused, okay? So when people listen to me talk, and I often will talk about women being abused, it's no different than, you know, someone who launches, it's no different than those who launch the Boy Scout. It wasn't that girls that need training, too. And then they have, so, you know, there are many organizations, you know, there are a lot of people who, there's a bunch of us, you know. The Lord said that there, the harvest was plenty, and it's the laborers that are few.
Right.
And there's a lot of work to be done. And so if a group wants to go out and specifically and, you know, target men that are abused, we urge them to do it. And I like to focus on the women that are being abused.
Right.
Possibly because I was abused. And so it's very near and dear to my heart. And I've seen a lot of women abused. You know, I'm so totally not against, you know, helping the men. I'm all for that. Because I personally know some abusers, and love them, okay, want them to get the help. And I just say, you know, let another group do that. Same way we, you know, some churches.
Right,
focus
everyone
on,
has their place.
Sure, take your place. Go and do,
right.
Do something. You know, some churches focus on the youth. There are churches who focus on the seniors. You know, hey, it's okay. You know, there's enough work for everybody here.
Right.
And if we're truly making disciples, at some point we ought to see more helpers, okay? That's what disciples do.
Right.
Once they're disciples, they go back and help. So we know that that is just what, but for women, I'm thinking for women, you know, and again, I've met men that said they were abused. I believe them. I've met women that can abuse people. I've met some women that abused me. You know, when I was in school, fourth grade, second grade, kindergarten, I was bullied by girls, not boys. So I know girls, I know women can be abusive. The jailhouses are full of them. Women who have stabbed and or murdered their husbands, and then some never got reported. A lot of men take abuse, and, you know, because of the stigma of being a man.
Right.
And not wanting to appear weak in the face of others, they don't come forth and share what's happening with them. So we know that it's not as, you know, you're not going to find men, you know, running to start up a shelter for men to come, because men, they don't want to lose that reputation.
Their masculinity. Right.
Exactly. So, no, we're not, it's not as known. The statistics, but the statistics show that about 35% of the abuse cases are men. But that still means that the abuse against a woman very much, like, doubles that of men. Okay? So those are the statistics. So we can't pretend that, well, you know, only about 15% of the women are being abused and is mostly men. No, mostly women are still being abused. Their abusers are men. But back to you. Wow, I tell you, that point, so yes, that point, somebody being able to take their voice back, being able to lay their head down at night in peace and comfort, being able, when you said in the poem, not having to run from your own shadow, that's powerful. Because I'm sure that, you know, God gave you that to say, because if you haven't had to do that, you know, how would you know that that's something that people who are abused, that's something they have to do?
Right.
No, that's really good. Running from your own shadow, being afraid. That's, you know, wow. That poem is just really good, and I hope that, you know, people hear that and realize how important their lives are, that they have a purpose. And like you said in your poem, people now have a testimony. You know,
right. As you, so the next person don't have to be silent.
Oh, that's right there. You know, you can just hang your hat on that part right there. I'm lifting up my voice. I'm sharing my embarrassing and hurtful, and sometimes we feel shame because we sometimes feel that we let it happen. And so we keep silent about it, even though we get out of the situation. But there are so many people, especially women, who've never told anybody. And then this, that,
right.
That silent pain. But, you know, there's so many other women that maybe if they heard your story, how you got involved in that, maybe it might save them. So that poem. Now, is this the first place that you read your poem outside of with your team there in Cleveland?
Yes.
I had to feel quite honored here. So. I'm quite honored that it was read on the Coach LaLisa show, and I want to certainly welcome anybody who's tuned in to the show, welcome you to the show this morning. We are back on the air. We're talking with LaTosha Scott, who is about to finish your first book. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. The book is called The Confessions of Me, and to me you could say it's similar to a diary entry. It's just literally my heart pouring out through my journey with Christ when I first committed myself. Like, many people get saved at a young age or know about Christ at a young age, but when you honestly make that decision to walk with Christ, your life goes through changes. So this book is me pouring out my heart to God throughout my beginning journey with Him. So I went through so many titles of what can I call it, and the more I read it, the more I realized I was just pouring out my heart to Him. So I titled it The Confessions of Me.
That's good. That's good. Confessions of You. And so what are your short-term plans for your life, basically? I mean,
I currently now work at the federal building in Cleveland. I work for the government. I plan to go back to school, complete my degree. I'm not sure if I want to do a double major or a major minor. I know I definitely want to go in for psychology. I feel like God has placed a gift on me to listen, to hear things, and to also, like I said, when I speak, to help and assist. So I definitely, my heart is in that, but I also want to do motivational speaking, as well as a couple of theology classes. So I have my hands full with the decisions on what I want to do in college, but I can do it all. I could just minor in some, but plan to finish and complete my degree. And then from there, go and try to be a counselor or a probation officer. I feel like there's many people who are in the system who made mistakes but can't seem to get past that mistake because the world won't see past that mistake. There's many people out here who made a mistake, get out, want to do something different, but so many people pushing them back into that box that they just been released from. I feel like if you put a heart out there, if you put Christ, that peace, that joy, and you bring it back to the world, someone can learn from that. Someone can grow from that. So my heart is also in that. I want to do probation, be a probation officer, and then just from there build up on my psychology, hopefully become an author sooner than I expect and think before all these things are finished, and just move where God leads me. I mean, I feel like God has so much for me that I know I have a plan to do certain things, but I feel like he's going to move me where he sees fit.
Well, you said a mouthful there. You know what? I mean, I think that's great. I'm glad you said that. We have our plans, and God will move us where he sees fit. Absolutely. That is wonderful. And you have some, you know, dynamic plans. You know, I know you can't share them all, but you shared at least enough that people will know, number one, it doesn't matter how old or how young you are, you can use your talents, your gifts, your skills, and your abilities. And it sounds like you're tapping into everyone that you have. You're tapping into your ability to speak in front of an audience. So you said, I'm going to be a motivational speaker where you can motivate people to change their lives. You said you're an author, not want to be, you are an author. You've already written a book. You just need to get it published. You're an author. You wrote the book. Now you just need to get it published. Or the poem. You wrote the poem. You can get that published. I mean, there's many ways to do these things today. Again, today it's about 1,000 times. It's about 1,000 to the ninth power. Okay, faster to do things. It's nothing like even 2 years ago. Even 2 years ago, we're seeing things today that couldn't have been done just 2 years ago with the power of technology and the power of the internet. And so, you can get you can become an author overnight, literally. If you are a writer, and we know being an author and a writer is slightly different, but you can write, you can be an author, you can get that done. College today is being done like never before. Students no longer have to be told, there's more options, I should say. Before, it was all driven by how many seats were in the classroom in a particular building. But today is different. Because today you can go online, so you got virtual classrooms, and there's more choices. So there's no excuse. People can't go to college. And then you talked also about, your job. You want to work in probation, or you want to help people who have, for whatever reason, sometimes fallen through the cracks, or they've gone out and committed, some type of criminal act. They go into the system, they pay their dues or do their time, but yet they're hit with a double jeopardy, so to speak.
Right.
And they come out, they've served their time for the crime that they've committed, but then they come out and now they're still put in another sort of jail. So that's I see the same thing here in New Jersey, and it is very sad for people. But like you said, I also work on the side where I'm telling these people, don't let what others see you as hinder you. Others may
not.
I committed a crime when I was 17, when I was 18, when I was 25, and I went to jail and I did, but I'm also working on a PhD and I am an author, so I've had government jobs. I've had good government jobs. I've worked for the airline industry. I worked for the college. I still teach at a college. I have some of the best, some of the finest jobs that people in this country could expect to have. Worked for a major pharmaceutical. And all of this was after the criminal record. Every single job, going back to college. So I can certainly attest to the fact that, but if you let it hold you back, then you're doomed. But if you don't let your past hold you back, it won't. It's up to you.
Right.
You see, not up to God. It's up to you. Because I know a lot of people who did not know God. They got out of jail. They didn't let their past hold them back. And they did super things. Yet, I know people who were in the church who did things and the parents say, oh, my child, they're doomed, or the person feels that way themselves. Thank God he's a gracious God. He'll work with us, But
right, but you got to be willing to move your feet. You have to believe in what God put inside of you. Everything that you need is there, but you have to believe it's there. And I think that's why it's important for people to speak life. There's so many people who kill life and destroy life and suffocate the life that's left in you. And many people might not know who they are and might not be able to find them, who's able to give you life again, who's able to give you that breath of fresh air, who's able to remind you who you are, who's able to help you and point you in that direction. Because coming out of a situation like that, your mentality is what they said it was. Now you have to learn how to think on your own again. Now you have to find out who you are from the inside and then out. And the world will try to make you something from the outside and push it in. But you got to know who you are from the inside to the out. And that's what makes the difference.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is so true, and that is so good. And I want to welcome any of my Lavender to Lace women who are, if you're tuned in this morning, I know some of you said you would tune in. So we certainly welcome you, and we're glad you're excited you're here on the Coach Lalisa Show. You know, I love you. Also, for those of you who are listening via the internet and other ways, we bless you. Thank you. Also, if you have a question or a comment for our guest today, please feel free to ask your question or your comment to Miss Latasha Scott. She's on the air right now. We're talking to her about her several projects that she has going forward. She's an author, a book of poetry, an anthology on poems. She also has the Beyond Abuse Project book, where the poem that she read earlier in the show, Past, Present, and Beyond, that poem is also going to be in the book, the Beyond Abuse Project book, that is being authored by several of the women up in Cleveland, where they're sharing their stories. Some are coming on to, so I think there's another poet in the book as well, I believe, a Miss Tiffany. And then there are others who have their story in the book. I believe, I don't know if it's too late, but I was offered a small, you know, a piece in the book. I shouldn't say small piece, but it's not my story, but it is just a motivational empowerment kind of a message for people to read the book. But I think this book is just a wonderful, wonderful project, and it's just awesome. And it'll be out, as a matter of fact, on Saturday at the symposium. You can pre-order your copy. Anyone who wants to pre-order a copy, and some of the women whose stories are in this book, these are powerful, powerful, like just reading their stories will change your life. But the book will be available this Saturday. So please go to get on over to Cleveland. Get on, as they would say, get on down to Cleveland and get a copy of this. If you're in the Cleveland area, go on over, get a copy of the book, meet with this young author and motivational speaker and woman of God, wife, mother. How do you, okay, now let's talk about balance just for a minute, and we'll come back to the poetry. Did you have another poem that you wanted to read for us?
No, I didn't bring another one with me.
Well, that's okay. I just didn't want to overlook it, but I want to talk for just a moment because you have a very powerful life going for yourself. I just want to talk about for a second, how do you manage all that? What's your strategy for project management or life management to get all that done that you're doing?
I'm just now, I believe, learning how to balance myself again. It was pretty hectic at first, right after having a baby, and trying to find time for my husband, trying to find time for the baby, then find time for myself. It's nerve-wracking when you try to do it alone, but when I realized putting God first in it, he'll prioritize the rest. Reminding me what's my center will keep the rest balanced. Trying to do it alone, you'll be a wreck. So I realized that I can't do it alone and that God will help me learn to find balance. So the weekend is pretty free for me. I have my mother and grandparents who assist me so much, and I'm very grateful with my son, and they take him on the weekends, or many people want to see him. So I do have me time on the weekends. Me and my husband still have date nights where we have our time. So it goes pretty well. And I'm a night owl, so if I have something on my heart that I want to write, I'll write until I can't write no more. So it works itself out.
Okay, well, you said something key right there. You said that you have help. I think that is important to know, Natasha. You said you have help. And, you know,
yes.
A lot of, yes, to have that help. Wow. Wow. So, Latanya, let's see. You're able to balance and get, I think that's good for people to know, because some people would probably not know that. They think, okay, she must be Superwoman. How is she doing all that by herself? But you said you have help. Wonderful. That sounds like a very, very good strategy, you know. So that is great, because, you know, to be a young woman such as yourself, it's good to go in early, you know, coming in the door, knowing how to organize everything and, you know, keep everything, how they say, you got to juggle all the balls and keep them up in the air, right?
Right.
That's what jugglers do. They juggle X amount of balls, 3, 5, or however many, 10, and their whole purpose is to keep them all in the air without dropping one. And so some people, right, so that's, so probably if you, you know, could juggle, you'd probably be a great juggler. So that's great. It's so wonderful. But where, so you want to use your gifts and your talents. How did you first get motivated to do some of the things that you're doing? You know, to be a young person, okay, 9th grade, 10th grade, obviously you've been, you know, doing some things for a long time. How did you get motivated to not just, you know, say, well, you know, because some young people, it appears, some, I said S-O-M-E, not all, but some, they just don't seem to be so motivated to look beyond, you know, what might be happening in their current situation, you know, bad or good, to see what they might be doing with their life in terms of whether they, authors, athletes, entertainers, business people, entrepreneurs, you know, people in the medical field. There's so many different fields to go into. How did you find that motivation, or can you share what your secret to be?
I think it just was always there. I come from a family full of strong women. Like, I was majority raised by women. I have my father. I know my father. But my main core was women. My grandmother, she's a beautiful, strong woman. She's 83 this year. She's 83. She always spoke life into me. And I have a very truthful and honest family who's been through a lot. My grandmother's sister, one of her sisters was killed by her boyfriend. My grandmother's daughter, she was abused by her husband. I just have a family who comes from a lot of different struggles, different situations, but always believed in themselves, always knew who they were, and always spoke life into each other. And that's what my grandmother did. She always made us believe in ourselves. She said, if you don't think you're the world, no one else will. She encouraged us from a young age. I remember watching my grandmother when I was younger just sit in the kitchen with her hands folded in prayer. I used to see my grandfather kneel down in the bedroom at night in prayer. Through all that my family go through, up or down, I see it finished with the prayer, or I see faith behind it. No one's perfect, and my family has their share of many different situations, but I see Christ behind it. And I don't know, my family always said that I thought of everyone else before myself. I remember when I first started working, getting a good job. I'm the oldest of 10 siblings. I would give my whole paycheck to my siblings on holidays. I would do for my siblings. My mother would give me money. I would give it to my siblings. I always had a heart for someone else more than me. I always cared for the other. I always wanted the best for someone else. And I think that was just something that I was born with, a gift, of course, from God that I didn't know at that time, but my family seen it in me. My family encouraged me and molded me. And I used to write music when I was younger. I actually started for music before poetry. and it switched to poetry when I went to college and I was introduced to this producer, and I let him see some of my music, and he was like, you know your music is poetry, right? And then from then, it switched from music to poetry. So I believe it's just something that's always been there. I don't know any secrets. It's just my life and how it unfolded. And I'm definitely grateful for it, but I think it was just always there.
Wow, that is so cool. Yes, yes, yes. So, wow, the oldest of 10 siblings. I would have never guessed that in a million. Just talking to you, I haven't met you, and I've only talked to you right here on the Coach Lalisa Show. But, Latasha, talking to you, I would have never guessed that you were the oldest of 10 siblings. You know, I would have. And that's so good, though, but because, you know, I think that's going to encourage a lot of people. But I would have assumed that, okay, you're the only child, you get all of this attention doted on you and things of that nature. But I'm one of seven, so I know that didn't happen, because that can't happen. If you want and getting all the attention, something's wrong with the parents. But certainly I'm definitely not the oldest, so I can only imagine what the oldest has on their show. I know how I feel knowing I had, you know, four under me, you know, just having four under me. I know there's a great level of responsibility you feel, but to be the oldest, wow, of 10, now that's got to be some heavy. But wow, what a motivated young woman. If you just tuned in, we thank you for listening to the Coach Lalisa Show. We're talking with Latasha Scott. She is an author, motivational speaker. She is, it sounds like she's a preacher, too. She was preaching yesterday, y'all. You were preaching at the end. I'm going to let you preach again today, because when there's somebody that needs to hear your voice, there's some young person, a parent is going to allow them to listen to what you have to say here on this show today, how you can motivate someone who seems stuck, who doesn't feel like, you know, getting up in the morning, who doesn't feel that they have anything to really share with the world. Then you have people who, and I'm talking about inside of the church, I'm not talking necessarily outside, but that both.
Right.
But then there are people who feel they have all the time in the world. So they say, well, I'll wait till I'm like 35. You know, I get that all the time from some close people, because why? I started late. And so they say, well, you know, I'll do like my Aunt Lisa. I'll wait until I'm in my 30s, you know. But I'm like, no, do it now at age 9. You don't have to wait, you know, because even the 9-year-old. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I mean, God has something for you. He always has something for you. The sooner that you tap into it, the better you are. It's like God always had a plan for us. He knew us before we knew ourselves. He knew us before we was in a womb. So to plan that far ahead before we can even imagine what God is and what he has for us, just imagine how many things you're missing out on because you choose to postpone your blessing. No one wants to postpone a blessing. That's like someone telling you you can graduate early. Or you can get this car. No, I'll wait till I'm 25. No, I'll wait till I'm 35. God has blessings for you. And it's not just material blessings. It's a peace inside that no one else can give you. I am so grateful that I'm married, yes, that I got married at the age of 21. I had a baby. He'll be one this year. Yes, I'm very blessed. But without all that, before all of that, I had to know who I was in Christ. I had to be whole, because no man can make you whole. No partner can make you whole. No child can make you whole. That is God and God alone who can make you whole. And that is how it was designed, for him to tell you who you are. Adam knew who he was before Eve came. Life is made to meet Christ. It's made to meet Christ because God is your originator. He's the blueprint to your life. You can try many things in life, but once you find your purpose, everything fits. You don't have to force nothing. It's a beautiful thing when you wake up and you know God has you. But to wake up unsure is the most strangest feeling. To feel like you don't know who you are in your own body is scary. And that's why many people seek others and seek many trends and many different things that's going on in the world, because they just want to be whole. They want to have peace and joy. That's God. That's no one else but God. And once you allow him to be your center, everything else gets in line. You don't have to worry about how to do it. He shows you how to do it. I'm telling you, people think that this world has things you can get hooked on. Get hooked on Christ. You're going to come back. You don't want to come back. There's no other greater feeling. I remember when I excluded myself, just isolated myself from the world and decided to give God my all. That was the most peaceful time in my life, and I didn't want to let it go. It's a joy. It's a beauty. You are a wonderful person, but let God tell you how wonderful you are, because no one else can see that same beauty. And until God tells you, you can't see that same beauty. So you choose to get less instead of all that you deserve. Let God show you your best so you can produce best, so you can receive best. Don't let mediocre be you. Don't let the world tell you who you are and what you can and can't do. They don't put a top to this. God is the top.
Wow. See, I knew it. There, now that's your motivational speech right there. So you can, and you can go back at any time and listen to that, but, and you know, take parts of it and develop it even more. But that sounds like a great speech to deliver to some youth anywhere and everywhere. Wow! Don't wait. Wow! You talked about that. Don't postpone. Wow! Tap into wow. That, you know, that was good, Latasha. Well, I'm you know, I'm sure you hear this all the time when you open your mouth, because you are a serious young woman. Wow, just 25 years old, y'all. This is a very young, dynamic woman that a lot of people who are on this line probably didn't know, but you know her now. And wow, so you talked about this can help somebody who is sitting back waiting, or those that you covered both scenarios in that one felt swoop. You spoke to the ones who are sitting back waiting, and you also spoke to the ones who don't think they can have anything to give. You told them, it's already there. Wow, I love that. You said Adam knew his purpose before Eve ever got there. And people got to know their purpose before they try to get involved with someone. Wow, that is, you said you knew your purpose before you met your husband, before you had your baby, before you married your husband, rather. You know, God, and you were willing to tap into all that God, and you said you tapped into the main source. You tapped into the top. You said God is what you're looking for. He's what you're searching for. You're searching for peace. You're searching for comfort. You're searching for love. You're searching for money. Whatever you're searching for, God's got it. I love it. That sounds like, boy, I know all the preachers right now, they're writing this stuff down. That'll preach. They write, oh yeah, they'll be preaching that on Sunday morning. Those that don't already have their sermons, because that'll preach. Listen, you know what? You were writing songs, and then you start writing poetry. God might be throwing another gift at you, opening that up. A speechwriter.
Yeah.
Because now, if you're a speechwriter, I'll hire you today. Because I got a lot of speeches to deliver. And listen, one thing, we can get up on the platform and we can dazzle the audience, but you better have something to say when you're
right.
That. But, girl, you are bad to the bone. Yeah, you better put that on your resume, too, speechwriter. And I'm serious, because companies like President Obama, you know, look how much, you know how much she pays just for one speech?
I can't imagine.
Thousands of dollars. I had my speech professor, and you probably had one of those too, because they make college students take that course. But my professor, he was a corporate speech writer, and he told us about what he made just to write corporate speeches for all the CEOs. Most CEOs do not write their own speeches. Most. I'm not talking about, like, you're a person who opens up an Avon business. I'm talking about CEOs of all your major corporations, whether it's the IBM, Cisco, you know, Hewlett Packard, all these big companies. They don't write their speeches. They pay people to write those for them.
Right.
And they make good money to do that. So, wow, a speechwriter. You talked about, oh, know that's going to motivate some young people right there. I want parents, family members, friends, let them listen to LaTosha Scott. Let them hear those words. I know you got some more. We got a few more minutes. But something you said, now the people who absolutely, that they've been through a lot, let's just say, and I know you said you've been through stuff, so it ain't like you've had this, you know, this life where you've had not seen any trouble and pain. But you said you have, and so you've had your own struggles. But for these people who feel as though, you know, I just can't, you know, find my purpose, I don't know what my purpose is, don't know, I've been looking, I've been searching, and I just can't find it. What do you think that's about? What do you think's behind that? People who say they...
Sometimes I think, honestly, people put pressure on themselves to find their purpose, or once they have a relationship with God, you know, some people might feel like it's supposed to just pop up, or it's just there, or some people might feel like it's just one thing that they're supposed to be latched onto, because so many people might be great in one area or have a great strong area. I feel like God uses you how you fit. If you are one person who can do many things, then God going to use you for many things, not just one thing. If you're a person who's great at one thing, I look at it also like your natural talents, God gave you that. Everything that comes natural to you that you can do with no problem, just to breathe, you don't mind doing, that's a God-given gift that he gave you that could be birthed into a purpose. But don't pressure yourself. Just let God have all of you. And when I say that, use your talents for him. Your talents shine the brightest and go the farthest when you allow God to have his hand on it. When you try to do it yourself and find out by yourself or take your talent where you think it should go, it don't always work as planned because it's not always what's planned. Don't stress yourself out. God made you with gifts and talents. Use them for him. Ask him how he sees fit for what you have and what you're good at. And I also read a book called The Purpose-Driven Book. It was a great book to me. When I read that book, I said a prayer to God. I said, God, as I read this book and go on this journey, show me what you want me to do. Show me my purpose and where I should go. And through that whole entire time while I was reading that book, I was invited to churches to read my poetry. I was invited to different places along the lines of my poetry and speaking. And that right there had confirmed what God had placed in front of me a long time ago. But don't stress yourself out. Don't pressure yourself. God has many things he can use through you. Just allow him to do it. Allow him to have that place in your life where he belongs. And it'll work itself out. You don't have to figure it out today. Just know that you got gifts, and those gifts, give it to God. Use it for the good of him. When you elevate someone else, you also become elevated. There's no way you can do good for someone else and not feel good.
That's good. Yes, I am familiar with that book, The Purpose-Driven Life, by Dr. Rick Warren, who very, very powerful book, and many people were on that 40-day journey. That is a 40-day book. It's like a 40-day journey, and people can read the book and in 40 days. But I think we do have a question for you, so let me open up this phone line. Caller, yeah, we have a couple of callers I see wanting to get in, so let me open up the phone lines and see who we have here. First, we're going to go to caller 347. Good morning. You're on the air with Coach LaLisa and my very special guest, LaTosha Scott. Do you have a comment or a question?
Good morning. Be heard, please.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes.
How are you? Thank you for taking
the call. Well, we're doing great. How are you?
I'm very well. And thank you, LaTosha Scott, for coming on and sharing your testimony and your words this morning. I appreciate them. I'm experiencing, and perhaps something that you might be able to share or the host, I'm experiencing a great deal of church hurt these days. I'm a person that's passionate about, you know, speaking to and dealing with young people. I deal with young people on a consistent basis in terms of gang intervention, drug intervention, advocating advocating on behalf of many of them, getting them out of situations where they would be incarcerated and things of that nature. And the church hurt that I'm experiencing is because much of the feedback that I get from young people is based on the fact that many of them feel like the faith-based community ignores or mutes out their very real criticisms of issues that are being avoided. And particularly these young people are young people of color, black and Latino young people. And their greatest issue is that they feel as if many pastors, and more specifically the ones that I come in contact with, don't seem to put forth a narrative that is encompassing of their cultural perspective. Many of these young people feel like they're being silenced. They go to churches and the churches speak about Jews and Greeks, and but where is the representation of speaking about Africans or people from Latin perspectives? And so that's the reason why a lot of young people don't want to go to church. And when I bring up these issues, I oftentimes find that people try to beat me down with scripture to silence me or try to give me a feel-good message or things of that nature, and I'm feeling a great deal of frustration. So you being a person that's considerably younger than me, I know that you said 25, what advice would you suggest for an individual such as myself reaching back to and trying to encourage and equip a person that may be your age who's looking to deal with people younger than yourself?
Now, question, tell us, but one, now 1 second before you answer that, Latasha, hold your thought. Where, what city are you calling from?
I'm calling from Brooklyn, New York.
Okay, in the Brooklyn, New York area. Great. Just wanted to say that. And hold that thought 1 second. Also, I just want to open up another caller's line because they may also have something. I know they have their hand up. Good morning, area code 440. I believe this is my good friend Denise. Denise, how are you?
Good morning, LaLisa. Good morning, Latasha. I've just been sitting back and listening in awe of such a great move of God. I thank God that the connection was made with you and Latasha and that there is a forum for our young people to speak because, you know, oftentimes they don't get an opportunity to use their voice. The young man that just made that comment about the church hurts and the young people, we need to open up more platforms like this so that they can use their voices because sometimes we do miss the mark. We do miss the opportunity to hear their voices. So if the churches are not listening, then I tell the young people, please don't be discouraged. Keep moving forward. Sometimes we got to come out of the church. Sometimes the church is a little comfortable. That's why God, that's why Jesus did street ministry. That's why it was all about outreach and about touching the ones that were not being listened to or being recognized. It's the same old story. We just got to keep moving forward and doing something outside of the box like you're doing today. Natasha, I love you. Thank you, daughter, for being just a wonderful advocate, a role model, and for all of your listeners and for those in the Cleveland area, Latasha will be doing that lyrical lifestyle. She'll be doing her poetry at the Beyond Abuse event this Saturday. LaLisa, you'll be there talking about bullying and the abuse. And we're just going to have a good time. It's a free event. We just thank God that the doors is open from the New Freedom Ministry and to all of the Shiros. And Shiros are the survivors heard everywhere, reaching others. I encourage you to be there because it doesn't cost anything to save a life. So we're going to petition and rally for the Domestic Violence Advocacy Month. Awareness Month. We're closing the month out. I just challenge everybody in Cleveland to bring somebody they love because we got a word for them, no matter what age they are.
Okay. Well, we're going to thank you so much for that, and I'm going to let you answer his question, Tasha. So hold that thought, but. Definitely on Saturday, October 29th from 10 to 4, come out to the free event. This is the Beyond Abuse Symposium. It's going to be held at New Freedom Ministries, 3476 East 152nd and Kingsman Avenue. That's in Cleveland, Ohio, area code 44120. You can go to Facebook. Like I said, there's a page on Facebook. You can connect and just be there. Don't think about coming. Just come. If you think about it, your gremlin is going to convince you not to show up for some odd reason. But
that's
make
right.
sure you get now. Thank you, Denise. Now, I know we have just a few minutes left. So, Latasha, I do want you to be able to respond to the caller from New York. Go ahead, Latasha.
Yes, I was just going to say that God placed you in that position for a reason. There's nothing wrong with you. If they can't get fed from the pastor, who said that you can't feed them? The disciples follow Jesus. You don't have to be Jesus, but you definitely can be a disciple. A person don't have to have the pastor tell them. They just have to know that they're loved. They just have to know that someone cares. They just have to be pointed in the right direction. It don't necessarily have to be the person at the top, just as long as they know that someone cares and that it doesn't matter what everyone says. It just matters that you know that you have life inside of you. So there's nothing wrong with you feeding them the truth. If they're being hurt somewhere else, you feed them the truth. You help them. You assist them. You are there. You are their connection. They are able to confide in you and feel whole with you. So give that love back. Let God use you.
Wow. You said a mouthful. Young man that's there in New York, you have probably about 1 minute to either respond to that or ask another question, however the Lord is leading you.
Well, I appreciate you taking an opportunity to take the call and for her response. You know, I'm just going to continue to remain present in my situation and recognize that I'm being called to something greater than my circumstances. You know, it is frustrating, and for anyone who is working within a faith-based environment, I just want them to remain focused and realize that it is bigger than their circumstances. And that's what I would just have to add. But thank you, though.
Oh, thank you, caller.
Thank you.
Okay, Latasha, that was good for anybody listening in. What you said about that being a disciple, called to do a work, that's what God has called us. And I'm going to put that call on mute because I think there's some typing. I know my good friend is probably typing up her next program book. But listen, that was good. Wow, that's powerful. You can disciple people. God has discipled you. You can disciple others. You are being fed, and now go feed. He said, go feed my sheep. And whether you're on your job and you meet people who are lost or hurting or in pain or who can't figure it out, you have the words inside of you. I think that's a very, very powerful message that I'm picking up from you, Latasha, is that the power is inside of you. You have to tap into it. Now, I know that because of the book, Release Your Power, 8 Strategies for Becoming Who You Really Are, that's that message. So I am very convinced that, you know, this is yet another Holy Ghost hookup, that God would hook me up with a woman that's almost exactly 30 years, you know, younger than me to speak the very same message. And that really proves that it is timeless, that it is timeless. I mean, I've been talking about that Release Your Power for a minute now. And so for God to bring someone into my life who is so youthful and so young, a message is just awesome. I'm just blown away. Really, you just don't know. And so I know you're probably busy. We have only 30 seconds left. You're probably a busy young lady. But I'm going to be talking with Denise or somebody. We're going to have to get you another forum on this show. We're going to have to do a conference online, or we got to do something. We're going to be using you, like you told the young man. That's one of my favorite sayings. You can ask anybody at my church. You. And when you said that, I'm like, okay, we're partners now. That's it. That's it. When you said that, oh, listen, that's it. That you see. So anyway, thank you so, so much for, I know you're probably on your way to work, and I just thank God for you taking out time. And you're very busy. I pray God strengthen that he endue you with more power and that you can, you know, be refreshed and revived and, you know, go to work and you know, do everything that you need to do with your family and your child. And thank you so much for being with us here on the Coach LaLisa Show.
Thank you for inviting me once again.
Oh, we're going to have you back soon as your books come out. We're going to have you on here talking about your books, sharing other things that you're doing with your other partners. Again, thank you to Denise and for connecting us. Thank you to Denise for that awesome project going down in Cleveland this weekend. Thank you to those who are tuning in, Ms. Pat and others, and to the comment from out of New York, the young man that also wants to be a blessing to others, and you really helped him, so, and you're helping others that were listening. So everyone, have a wonderful day. Go out and let God use you. That's it. Hey. That's it. Go find him. Tap into what you got inside. Let God use you and watch and see what a difference your life will be. Well, that's good. Well, again, Tanya, have a wonderful, wonderful day.
All right, you have a sign.
Thank you. Well, everyone, this has been the Coach LaLisa Show. Remember, phenomenal preparation breeds phenomenal success, and your goals will take you to the destiny of your dreams, but you got to have a dream. If you want to have a goal, you've got to have a dream. Well, this has been Coach LaLisa on Blog Talk Radio. Have an awesome day.